Now part two of the Day of Atonement. And this is the meditation portion of this. We'll start with Hosea 6 and then go back to Micah for a little bit. Hosea 6. This is for you on this day of fasting. Actually, we're going to go through most of this chapter, 11 verses, because this is a time of repentance during the Feast of Atonement. Time of repentance and fasting. Namely, we're fasting for others, but we should be for ourselves as well, to humble ourselves and pray and seek Yahweh's face and repent. It says there in verse 1, Hosea 6, "Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up." After 2 days, which could be symbolic of 2,000 years, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know Yahweh. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, that's speaking to us now, most of us. We are rebellious Protestants, for we surrender to Yahweh, to the Messiah, to his word. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Yehuda, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goes away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Yahweh is speaking here to us. O Judah, what shall I do unto you? O Yehuda, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. Verse 6, for I desired mercy and not offering. I desired to have mercy, not these offerings, and the knowledge of Yahweh more than burnt offerings. But they, like a man, have transgressed the covenant. They, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. We've transgressed Yahweh's covenant. All of our Protestant Ephraimite neighbors, we've transgressed his covenant here. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. That could be your local township. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Yisrael. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Yisrael is defiled. Also, O Yehuda, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. That's the end of that, of Hosea chapter 6. When I return the captivity of my people, meaning that he's going to return us to the chosen land. Because we are Ephraim. We are mixed among the people. Ephraimite is a cake not turned. It's the village, the concept of the whole world ecumenical village there. That was Hosea 7, 8. Now let's flip over to the right to Micah. And I think it was chapter 7. Micah 7, verse 18. And we remind ourselves of the Sermon on the Mount when Yahusha, the Messiah, said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We need to be merciful to those who Yahweh tells us to show mercy to them. Sometimes I'll show mercy to an out-and-out heathen. I just don't know why, but Yahweh is telling me showing mercy is, well, depending on how you define it, I guess. Micah 7, and I'd like to read verse 1 first of all. "Woe is me, for I am as when they had gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. Yahweh speaking here, woe is me. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Pretty negative, isn't it? Sometimes a man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then it was verse 18 through 20. Who is a mighty one like unto thee? Who is, it says G-O-D here in the King James, but who is a mighty one like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, our lawlessness, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt cast all their sins. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And to, again, unto Exodus 20 and the 10 points. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Yahweh says. The Day of Atonement is a special time of repentance. Let's meditate upon Numbers 5. And the book of Numbers 5. When a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit, they do a trespass against Yahweh, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense and offer restitution for his trespass. See also Leviticus 16:2. Then up to chapter 15 in Numbers 15:30. But that soul that does aught presumptuously and refuses to confess his sins and repent, because he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. So we're responsible for our actions. The soul that does aught presumptuously, because he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Now Deuteronomy 4, I'll just read that for you. Just two verses, 30-31. When thou art in tribulation in the latter days, if thou turn to Yahweh thy mighty one and shall be obedient unto his voice, for Yahweh thy mighty one is a merciful Yahweh, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy you, nor forget his covenant. See also Deuteronomy 30. The Day of Atonement today, No food or drink for 24 hours is all. Now verses Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 6. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call thee them to mind, all the nations, whither the Yahweh has driven thee, like to America, and shalt return unto Yahweh, thy mighty one, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. You and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, when you have repented and obey with all our heart and soul. So it is a matter of the heart, even back there in the time of Moses. Verse 3, then what happens when you obey? Then Yahweh, thy mighty one, will turn thy captivity. He's going to take that captivity away. And he will have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where you've been scattered, where Yahweh has scattered you in the diaspora. Germany, England, America. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will Yahweh, thy mighty one, the Eternal, gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And Yahweh thy mighty one will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. We're going to return. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And Yahweh, thy mighty one, will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahweh, thy mighty one, with all your heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And Yahweh, thy mighty one, will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted you. But remember that he caused them to do it. He inspired the enemy to take us on. That was in Deuteronomy 30. Now, 1 Kings 8, as we're fasting here, or preparing, if you're listening before the fast, or maybe it's after the fast. And also I'll need to give you the date of when the Day of Atonement is kept. It's 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets. Or should I say the 10th day? The 10th? Yeah, I think so. 1 Kings 8, over 33 now. Solomon's Prayer at the Dedication of the Temple. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in thy house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto thy fathers. Chapter 21 of 1 Kings, as Ahab humbled himself by fasting. Look down there in verse 25. 1 Kings 21, Kings. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And we'll skip here a little. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted, and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And then seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. Hey, real good, Dad. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, and that's a great big name there, not just pagan, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. So we need to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, or in other words, to repent. Humble, pray, seek his face, repent. Then he will hear from heaven, forgive sins, and heal their land, heal our land of all the plagues that we have here. Maybe we can say we don't have that many plagues, but maybe you don't know of some, but somebody else probably does. Lots of plagues out there. Why is our fruit so fruitless? You can't buy anything in the store anymore. More, it seems like that it's worth two beans. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 11. As Manasseh humbly fasted and repented. And most of the time, Yahweh is speaking here. Sometimes it's a prophet speaking, but if I don't say who's the one who's speaking, like somebody might wonder, who's saying, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray? Well, that person is Yahweh the Father, or certainly in the Son, before he, before he was incarnated. Verse 11, wherefore Yahweh brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought Yahweh, his mighty one, and humbled himself greatly before Yahweh of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. Yahweh heard his prayer, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Yahweh, he was the Eternal, the Mighty One. That Yahweh is Yahweh, not L-O-R-D. L-O-R-D is Baal, if you look up the word Baal. From Lordos, that's just an English word, but lordos is not Hebrew. It's, Baal is Hebrew. But King Manasseh there represents a lot of different nations, nationalities. He represents the red Native Americans, and actually a lot more in America than just the Native, who's really a Native of America? Maybe Russians? But they were kicked out. Our transgression causes that. But some say, oh well, so I'm just going to say, so, oh well. That's the way they feel, whatever. We're going to get to Psalm 51, but right now Job 11:14. If iniquity be in thine hand, pull it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Job 11. Okay, Psalm 51, it's 19 verses. It's really long, so I'm going to race through that. And if you like, you can pause the tape or read it yourself. Or I think I at least, once we get into it, stop doing the fill here and read it, right? So maybe I can go slower if there's not so much commentary. Chapter 51, verse 1, and to him, have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, my sins. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and have done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's also found in Isaiah, I think chapter 1 or 2. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. David's admitting that even he wasn't perfect. You ever have that realization, that reality, that you're not perfect? Some say, well, but I'm just forgiven. Well, if that's all you can do, I want to walk in Yahweh's righteousness. I want to be like David and be humble and honest and admit that I'm struggling, struggling in the flesh. I'm weak, especially on the Day of Atonement. All right, continuing now, and create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Ruach HaKadosh from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Yahweh, thou Mighty one of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The offerings of Yahweh are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Yahweh. No, not more self-esteem, less self-esteem. That's what but he doesn't want us to think lower of ourselves than we are. Let's be realistic. Where do you stand with Yahweh? Where do we stand with one another? We were guilty. We're not sinners. No, we repented. We don't make a practice of sinning. So I'm not a sinner. I'm a believer saved by unmerited favor. I don't make a practice of sinning. Occasionally, I fall into it, accidentally, but I don't meditate and plan to sin. I don't willingly do it, but I still have a little bit of that nature. I have not given up to Yahweh, and I like to confess that, and with my whole contrite heart ask that Yahweh forgive your sins and my sins, and that there be no evil intent in our heart to commit those sins. And then on with the Psalm 51 now. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahusha Messiah. Thou wilt not despise, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the offerings of righteousness, with burnt offering and with whole offering. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon thine altar. All right, that's Psalm 51. Over to Proverbs, and then Isaiah. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. Even though Protestant preachers tell us that any kind of fear, even fear of Yahweh, is bad, we're just supposed to have respect, but not real fear. Well, we need to turn that around and do the opposite of what those Protestant preachers, those protesting preachers, they're protesting Yahweh's word. Not only his Torah, but all of it. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And Proverbs 28:28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Hope you found that place of mercy and forgiveness in Yahweh's favor, in Yahweh's eyes. Proverbs 28:13. Next, Isaiah 31, part of verse 6 there. Turn you unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Isaiah 55. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him and to our mighty one, for he will abundantly pardon. That's in chapter 55 of Yeshayahu. Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Return thou, backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, for I am merciful. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. We're supposed to acknowledge our iniquity. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh. We're doing that. Jeremiah 13. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah 31:34. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's right there in the covenant, the new covenant with Yahweh. So, if we want our sin to be forgotten and forgiven and have mercy, maybe we should be thinking that there is still a covenant for the people in this period of time, that we're not between covenants. Let's not forget that Yahweh is covenanting with us, with his bride, as a husband covenants with his wife, as the husbandman covenants with his bridegroom covenant. Okay, you get the idea. Lamentations 5 for one little verse, and then Ezekiel 18. Turn thou us unto thee, or in other words, give us repentance. Turn us unto thee, is how it should say, O Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. So, let me read that again. Give us repentance, O Yahweh, and we shall be repented. Renew our days as of old. Ezekiel 18:20 through 24. I think we're going to skip verse 20, 22 and 3. So 20, 21 and 4. The body that sinneth, it shall die. The body that sinneth, it shall die. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, That's Yahweh's statutes. And do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, now here's the Protestant person saying, I'm saved by grace and all my future sins are forgiven and all that carte blanche salvation. But it says here, though, in Ezekiel 18, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. Or if it's righteousness that he hasn't done, it's Messiah's righteousness, it shall not be mentioned. In his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. We're going to die spiritually if we keep up with that attitude. I'll just do whatever I feel like until I feel better, and then I'll come to assembly. Then I will praise you when I feel like I'm ready. Well, when are we going to turn to Yahweh? If you have that bad attitude, then just ask. Here is, as we did in Lamentations, when Jeremiah prayed in Lamentations, give us repentance, and we shall be repented. We shall repent. Well, let's go back up to Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto Yahweh, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us. I don't know how to say that adverb there in Hebrew. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. Our hands have built these SUVs, these computers, these satellites. And look what we've done. And now back to the scripture. For in thee the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him, Yahweh saith. In Hosea 14. Yah's name has been removed, but they spell it H-O-S-E-A, Hosea. But it's Hosea. How do I know that? Well, it only stands to reason that his name would be in his prophet, Hosea. It's not Hosea with S-E-A. It's got to be that they altered. And if you look in the Hebrew, which I haven't, but that'll be one to look up in the Hebrew, I'll bet you you'll find Yah in there. And I'm using that expression, I bet you, you know. I'm not going to bet anybody. I guess, what? I'm not going to swear to it either. I'm going to Mark, but first, the last chapter there, Malachi 3:7. In the older covenant, Malachi 3:7, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. You have gone away from my statutes, in other words, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Kind of a haughty attitude, rebellious Protestants. Where could we return to? I mean, after all, we're perfect, right? Yahweh loves us, quote unquote, so we can do no wrong, says the rebel, or the person who just kind of takes Yahweh for granted, and that's presumptuousness, sinful reproach on Yahweh. Okay, Mark 1, chapter 1. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the evangel. Believe the G-O-S-P-E-L. Repent ye, and believe the evangel. Chapter 2:17 of Marcos. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And a lot of church people think, then that doesn't apply to me, because we are righteous. But it does. We're former sinners, at least. 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we had quite a number of scriptures there, didn't we? We had Hosea. I think it was Hosea 6. Then we went to... I was going to review here. We had Hosea 6, then we had Micah 7. We had Exodus 20, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, and 2 Chronicles, Job, Psalm 51, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Hosea, Malachi, and Mark, and 1 John. In that section there. And by permission, I'm reading here on the Day of Atonement from an article from giveshare.org. I neglected to tell you at the beginning, about 25 minutes ago, that this is Day of Atonement. It's still part one, even though this is part, the file, the MP3 file is part two, but we're doing Day of Atonement part one. And we're down here on, and that's giveshare.org is the website, /holyday/atone1, HTML. So we're up to about page 10. And the next section is going to be called Atonement Emphasizes the Savior's Atoning Blood. I kind of said that too fast there. Atonement emphasizes Savior's atoning blood. The Savior, of course, Yahusha, who is the son of Yahweh. And some people can doubt that, but I think they need to pray about doubt, to maybe have more doubt, to doubt their doubts, and believe in Yahweh. And even though there seems to be some doubt now and then, go ahead and just doubt those doubts. Pray for more doubt. That was just... I'm going to keep doubting all the, what if, and I'm not sure about this, and so I'm just going to start doubting that stuff instead of doubting Yahweh's word. Pray for more faith, too, of course. Pray for repentance. We're at Matthew 26. Luke, Acts, and Romans are coming up. Luke 24. Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Luke 24, 46. It behooved Messiah to suffer and to rise from the grave the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So should we preach? Is that bad? Is that... putting a guilt trip on people and having a hate speech by preaching. Whether they think it is or not, we're supposed to do it. Next to Acts 20, the church of the assembly of Yahweh, which he has purchased with his own blood. Romans 3, being justified freely by his unmerited favor through the redemption that is in Yahusha HaMashiach, whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Yahweh. That's a lot of words there in one sentence, in two verses, Romans 3, 24 and 5, being justified freely by his unmerited favor, redemption, that Messiah, Yahweh set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The remission, or passing over of sins that are past, not future, the sins that are past through the forbearance of Yahweh. So it doesn't say future sins are automatically carte blanched with a charge card, just charge it. Romans 5:9, as we repent on this day of at-one-ment with Yahweh, being at one with him, at least in English, we can split up atonement into saying at one. There's nothing wrong with being at one with Yahweh. I've heard preachers say that that's bad to say at one moment, but it's just an English word for having or enjoying Yahweh's atonement for us, His mercy, as we read there in that first big wonderful passage there from Micah chapter 7. Okay, Romans 5:9 for a quick one. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. Justified by the blood of Yahweh. We're being made right by Yahweh's blood. I think somewhere it says we're justified by His Spirit as well. So that's two ways, if that's true anyway. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Messiah died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So in the Messiah, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His unmerited favor. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, 2:13. But now in Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, for through Him we both, meaning the Hebrews and the Gentiles, the Greeks, the Hebrews and the Greeks, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20, as I read on here. Praise Yahweh that He forgave my sins. First Peter 1:18. We're doing the program before the Day of Atonement, by the way. I might have said in the last broadcast in part one that I needed to take a break and have a drink of something. Well, I'm not recording the message on the Day of Atonement because obviously I'm here with you and the file is already up there and uploaded. So I'm not cheating on my fast, even though I could do that and try to hide it and then pretend like I was not drinking anything. But I'm in the spirit as if this were the day, and it is. If you're playing it in Africa or New Zealand or somewhere, you're doing the Day of Atonement and you're listening on the Day of Atonement that you believe it is anyway. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. I had a lot of that, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, the lamb is the Messiah, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. What does that mean for our newbies? It means that Yahusha Messiah was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but in these last times, written 2,000 years ago, that was last times then. So it's even closer to the last times for us. But He was manifested in these last times for you, Peter said. That would be, probably the year 60 or, I don't know, 50 or so. 1 John 1, the blood of Messiah cleanses us from all sin. That's 1 John 1:7. These are actually just sample scriptures here. You need to look them all up. Chapter 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins, also for the sins of the whole world. If they would accept it anyway, would be my comment there. Revelation 1:5 says, Messiah that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now we need to, I hate to be abbreviating those. And since this is the official Day of Atonement, when we're hopefully listening to this file, or maybe we're preparing for it. So, yeah, I was just reading it from giveshare.org, and he's got it abbreviated, but on the Day of Atonement, you could actually look these up. What were they again? They were, way back there. Matthew 26, 28. Luke 24, 46. Acts 20, 28. Romans 3, 24 and 5, 9. 1 Corinthians 15. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 2. For he is our peace, was made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's verses 13 to 18. 1 Peter 1. You were not redeemed with corruptible. So that's verse 18 there. 1 Peter 1:18, as silver and gold. 1 John 1, 1 John 2:2, and now Revelation 1:5. At about 40 minutes into this part 2 audio file of Atonement, Revelation 1:5, as John is speaking to the seven assemblies, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yahusha HaMashiach, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And verse 6, and has made us kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father. Unto Yahweh and his Father. To him be kavod and dominion forever and ever. Kavod, the Hebrew word for... they put glory in there. That's corrupt. I could use esteem. I can't think of the others right now at this hour. But if we're fasting, we're probably... our minds are not that open anyway. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Yahweh by thy blood. So Messiah died and he was slain on the tree at Calvary. And he has redeemed us to Yahweh by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto Yahweh kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So there it is. If we're priests, shouldn't we look like one and act like one? I mean, even physically look like one. Shouldn't the man at least have the tallit on, if not even the kippah, the hat? So wear the tzitzis and wear the hat. Somebody said, well, that's showing obedience to the rabbi, or obeisance to the rabbi. Yes, Mr. Rood, it's showing obedience to the rabbi, not to you, not to my closest teacher, lives 40 miles away, but to the one in heaven and the one in my heart, that is Yahusha HaMashiach, that he is my rabbi. So I will wear it, if it's showing obedience to the rabbi, I'll wear it unto Yahweh. Not to be contentious about it. I mean, if you don't want to argue and go to 1 Corinthians 11 or something about hats, that it's a shame for a man to wear a hat. Well, why do the kings and priests wear them if it was a shame? But the scripture showed us that a woman's hair is given to her for a covering, was the gist of that chapter. A woman's hair. My, my, my. How we come up with all kinds of trumps, try to get out, and even those who are keeping these feast days will try to get out of it sometimes. Wonder what there is that I would try to get out of. I can't think of anything, you know, to speak of. But sell all you have and give to the poor. Now, there's probably one. Then I'd be poorer than everybody would have to give to me. Revelation 7:14. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A great multitude there. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We need to be thinking about the blood of Messiah, who washed us white as snow. Though our sins were red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So then, chapter 12, 11, 12, 11, and they, meaning Yahweh's assembly, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, and have the testimony of Yahusha HaMashiach. Much of this book of the Revelation is written about the Day of Atonement. I don't have that prepared for you, but it's in here, and I'm looking real quickly. Chapter 20 is the Day of Atonement. So now we can go to that, because this is a type of the Day of Atonement is a type of what is to come here, described in Isaiah 24:21 and Revelation chapter 20. Although part of it could be parenthetical, but where it says, but the rest of the dead. But let me catch you up on that then. If you don't have your scriptures, let me read it. It's only 15 verses, and they're pretty short. So at least part of this in chapter 20. And I saw a messenger come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he had laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Ha-Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, going into that millennium there, Revelation 12:9, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Messiah and for the word of Yahweh. For they were persecuted. Not all will be beheaded. For the witness of Yahusha and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, the mark of the beast, is some been said by many to be the mark about what day of the week you keep. If you read Ezekiel 9 and Ezekiel 20, that mark that he sets a seal upon us, the seal of Yahweh and his servants, would be the mark of keeping the Sabbath day. What would the other mark be? Keeping the pagan day, venerable day of the sun. Of course, if you're doing it without really realizing what you're doing, and you haven't had the opportunity to figure it out yet, that you're in the wrong church, wrong pew, then we'll leave that up to Yahweh to judge. I'm not going to say, well, then you're clear. I'd be falsely judging if I said, well, you're okay. If you came to me and, you know, I'd say, well, I'm not going to tell you that what you've done is okay. I can't acquit you for your sins. I'm not only a Catholic priest would no, he can't do it. So continuing with that verse, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, or received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. No, the mark of the beast is not the UPC symbol on the back of your hand. I know it isn't. Now here's the parenthetical part. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. Okay, then, out of parens, this is the first resurrection. So let me read that without the parenthetical part. In their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and pure is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Yahweh, so there it is a third time, You and I are supposed to be priests, and act and look like it. And they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. So there's that Azazel goat, again, the type of being cast out by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. And then I'll skip here to 20 verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I know the King James has the italics "are," so it's legitimate, since that's an added word to make sense. You can "are" or "were" are legitimate. Present tense is "are," and "were" is past tense. So, I'm not doing an English lesson. Where the beast and the false prophet were, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. The books were open. The book of life there. The sea gave up the dead. Death and hell, that is Hades, those in the grave. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever, well, it may or may not be Hades. That's the Greek word, Hades. There it could be Gehenna. Death and Gehenna. But I think Greek says Hades. Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that sounds pretty real. It doesn't seem like that we would take it lightly about having our name written in the book of life, does it? Yet some are taking it lightly today, not observing Yahweh's statute and judgments about keeping the Feast of Atonement. There's a great number. Of course, some figured the wrong date because they went by barley or something, but it's okay. I mean, it's better to do it with a clear conscience that you think that you're keeping the right date anyway. We'll probably study and find out something else. Hard to be dogmatic about gray areas. Yahweh doesn't say dogmatically, then we shouldn't be dogmatic about it. If Yahweh is clear, then let us be clear. If Yahweh is leaving it open and leaving it vague, then we need to be vague, not go and judge them and say, well, they're going to wherever because of what they're doing. We don't know. The 50-year Jubilee began on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 25, Romans 7, and 6:16, his servants, you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Isaiah 58, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free? The others that we have harmed, you know, and that you break every yoke by fasting today. For us to be free, something and someone else must go into bondage. 2 Corinthians, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. Leviticus 16, the scapegoat chapter, the atonement chapter there, Leviticus 16, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the Azazel goat, the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the Azazel goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Revelation 20, I saw a messenger come down from heaven, we read that, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain, laying hold on the dragon, and cast him into the bottomless pit, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And the Day of Atonement is a time we are to free ourselves from sin and Satan, asking Yahweh to mercifully atone our sins. And if you've already asked him, well, then you don't ask him again about the same thing. But it is also, but I'm sure that since last year we've sinned, you know, it's a good time for a community, maybe a community confession, but a community time of getting a convocation together and publicly condemning our sins and asking Yahweh to wipe them all away, to wash us white as snow. A time of great rejoicing when Satan is put away and our sins are covered. Because in Psalm 32, joyful is he, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now we're at the end of that article of part one, that is the written part of part one. This is MP3, atonement number 2 here, because we had to split this up to do the meditation part, but on YahvehYahweh.name. Our email, of course, StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name. The article was given to us by Giving and Sharing, by permission, GiveShare.org. And the Day of Atonement Part 2 is also available if you check that out. I don't think I can just easily try here. See if maybe it'll... Yeah, computer will open that up. Yeah, reference material is on part 2. Okay, the festivals of the year. Okay, Leviticus 16, scriptures read by Jews on the Day of Atonement. Oh, how did I get that? I clicked on that part 2 while holding down Control, the Control key there, and I clicked. And it went to that website there, giveshare.org, feast day, he's got holy day, /atone2. And the scriptures read by Jews on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, Numbers 29, Isaiah 57 through 58, the book of Jonah. And the theme of this for Jews is the true repentance, Numbers 32:23, Leviticus 18, for you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances. And it continues with the account of forbidden marriages, warning one not to fall into sexual temptation in Leviticus 18, after verse 4. Another passage is Micah 7. We read that, which emphasized Yahweh's mercy. The Jubilee year began on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 25:9, and it talks about Haim Shouse from Cincinnati in 1938, and a guide to Yom Kippur by Rabbi Louis Yaakov from London, 1957. The name Yom Kippur, literally Day Atonement, is the common Jewish form of the biblical Yom HaKippurim, Day of Atonements, plural. We need atonements for the many sins we have committed. Kippurim and Kippara mean to scour, to cleanse thoroughly, to ease or to cover and hide out of sight. It talks there on page 2 about fasting. And that would be the Mishnah, the Code of Jewish Interpretation. Now, I don't go by that, but they would forbid eating, drinking, washing, anointing, and intercourse on the Day of Atonement. Well, I would also forbid that on any Sabbath or feast day, as far as The intercourse, because it says in the scripture, I think it might be there in that Leviticus chapter that we quoted earlier, but it does say that. It didn't say it was forbidden, it just said that you'd have to wash yourself and be unclean until the evening. Now, did Messiah do away with that particular judgment when he died on the tree at Calvary? I don't think so. Why would things be different? Now it's okay to do it, but before it wasn't. It doesn't make consistency there. It doesn't make parallel logic. And Yahweh is a mighty one of logic. Customs connected with the atonement. Well, yes, some of that is Jewish tradition then. I don't really go on that, though. I go on what the scripture says, not on what churches, not what men say. And it's got the reality of sin. And about repentance, that such pardon does not come unless that man does something. He repents with fasting. He rents his heart. And then there's three Hebrew terms for sin. Pesha, rebellion. Avon, I've bought from them, but Avon comes from a root to be twisted or to be crooked. I was just thinking of somebody who was selling that product, and that's what their name was. A great singer. An example, a man who starts out right but throws everything away in an act of folly. So that's that type of a silly sin of folly, Avon sin. And then het comes from to miss the mark. An archer fails to hit the target. It's also another word, but it's a cuss word. It can mean unwitting sin, and the careless driver, slack teacher, overindulgent of neglectful parent, and thoughtless son. How about a thoughtless daughter? They're all guilty of the sin of het, to miss the mark. What was the first one? Pesha means rebellion, the attitude of the mind in which a man sets himself up as the sole judge of his own actions, recognizing neither the Yahweh nor his Torah. Pesha sins signify the refusal of a person to consider himself accountable to Yahweh for his actions. Day of Atonement in the Talmud. The Talmud is a Jewish tradition that I don't go by. There could be something, 17th of Tammuz. There could be some history in there that would be pertinent, but more important to read the scripture. But some people enjoy reading the background there. Yahoshan's ministry in the Jubilee year from the Sabbaths of Yahweh by James Porter of New York, 1966. A comparison of the seventh and Jubilee years. The seventh year begins at the Feast of Tabernacles. Jubilee begins on the Day of Atonement. That's interesting. Liberty through fasting. That's good. Day of Atonement, liberty through fasting. First goat and second goat. The first goat is Yahweh, the Messiah, Yahusha the Messiah. Second goat is the Azazel goat, or escape goat. Falsely translated, scapegoat. And then there's the quiz, an atonement quiz, a matching quiz here, at the bottom here of this. So it's giveshare.org, Holy Day Atone to, and then at the bottom, the Day of Atonement quiz, to afflict one's soul. And then you match that up there, fill in the blank. And general questions? Yeah, that's really nice. Good Sabbath school questions and so on. Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of blank, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every blank, every yoke, of course. But I like those. Richard Nichols was indeed a very gifted and talented by Yahweh person and author. And so far we are an hour and 4 minutes into the Day of Atonement part two here. Thanks for joining me. This is Stefan Yah of Stefan Yah at YahwehYahweh.name. Dot name, that's right. And thank you for joining us. And Shalom, I hope you have a really good Day of Atonement, an excellent, really great, fantastic day, a joyful day. And I pray that you might kind of lead into the Day of Atonement by, you know, preparing a little bit beforehand, a day or two, by tapering into the fast. Don't just, for some of you that it's hard on you, you know, drink lots of water right up to the, you know, the last second, maybe, if you will. That could help. You know, but for sure, lots of water the day or two before. Make sure you're getting plenty of water in your system, because that could be a big problem if you don't do it. So lead into there correctly, okay? And I think you're gonna be looking good. Now, somebody would say, well, what if I were to fast a day or two before the Day of Atonement? Then I'd really be afflicting my soul. I don't know if the idea is to punish yourself, you know, and inflict yourself. It's afflict, not inflict. So we're not supposed to inflict pain and cause a problem to our system and, you know, commit shinjuku or suicide. You know, we're not supposed to harm our bodies. So we just want to keep them clean and do everything right in Yahweh's sight. Thanks again. Well, it's been good. Thank you for the Yahweh for the opportunity here to be here today. And that no one's objecting to Yahweh's law, to His Torah, to His Ruach HaKadosh, to His Spirit. No one's objecting to keeping a fast day. A little quick fast. When it's over, you'll wish that it wasn't. You'll wish that Yahweh had commanded a longer period, that He just gave you the first 24 hours as a trial, and then the next day, I really mean it, because that's when you could really do a good fast. But unless He commands me to do something, and His Spirit is enabling, well, I just can't do it in my own power. So it's may it be a fast day for you on the Day of Atonement, and Yom Kippur. Praise Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. Maranatha, come quickly, Yahweh.